thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Does
here's John Williams.
Discount. I think Maroon 5 should be the Super Bowl halftime show. Hi, it's John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio all the way until 3 o'clock on Saturdays. Join us from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Don't forget now, tomorrow we're going to be at Cork and Kerry on the south side. We'll be there for the Sox-Cubs game. Oh, boy. That's going to be fun. You know who's going to join us tomorrow, 1:35, is Michael Kopech's dad. Too bad Michael Kopech's not pitching in this series. The arm that we were all so excited about got injured. He's out now and won't be here next year. But we want the Kopechs to feel part of White Sox Nation and be part of the rebuild in at least 2020, and we'll watch that process start in 2019. So we're going to do a shout-out to the Kopechs, and I hope you can join us for that at 1:35 at Cork and Kerry, too. By the way, the news click at WGNradio.com is a daily web poll question we post. If you follow me on social media, I'm WGN King John, and at WGNradio.com, we have a daily web poll question. So yesterday's news click was...
Are Bert and Ernie gay? A, yes, 2%. B, probably, but it doesn't matter, 24%. C, probably not, but it doesn't matter, 49%. D, no, 24%.
I'm in the C category. I'm with the half of you, 49%. Probably, but it doesn't matter. No. I'm in the probably not. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. Probably not, but it doesn't matter. This is my vote.
I'm kind of shocked by that. Not your vote, everyone's vote.
Why? What did you think?
Well, growing up, everyone just kind of thought that. Not that it was bad.
But that they were gay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Probably, but it doesn't matter. Or yes, they were gay is 26%. So a fourth of the people said that. Most said, probably not. But hey, it doesn't matter anyway. If they were, we're okay with that. Here's the new news click. Producer Elif, what is the new news click at WGNradio.com, please?
Do you like Maroon 5 for the Super Bowl halftime show? Yes or no?
I'm a yes. Violetta, you're a...
I'm a yes only because everyone is hating them so much.
Elif is a big fat no. Elif says no.
She won't even participate in that answer. That's a ridiculous question. I will not answer.
She's not going to dignify.
I'm just not a fan of
the news. That's fair
enough. I was in 2004 and before that, or 2006 up until then.
I still am in 2006.
Yeah, maybe that's my problem. I like them when they first. I love them when they first came out, and I haven't paid that much attention. But here's the thing: are they on a par with the Super Bowl? Are they America's group that everybody can eat chips, drink sodas, and not be offended and enjoy? And the answer is a great big fat yes.
Yeah, but the one thing they don't do, or at least I'm not sure, I don't think they perform or dance, which right. I think the show has to be like.
They're no Bruno Mars.
Yeah, or you know. Beyonce. I mean, those are performers all around. They can dance, they can sing, they're going to captivate the audience.
Go to WGNradio.com. Like me on Facebook, vote in our news click. Our Eric Rung is at the courthouse in Chicago following the Jason Van Dyke trial. He joins us now to give us an update on what's been happening today. We've been listening to it in the news and your reports. Eric, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon. Right now, they are in a short recess. We understand that the state is about ready to rest their case against Jason Van Dyke. And this afternoon, we also understand that his attorneys will ask the judge to give a directive verdict, which is very typical in these cases, basically asking the judge saying that the state did not have enough evidence. They don't have enough to say that Jason Van Dyke is guilty. They didn't put on a good case, and therefore, you should to say that that our client is not guilty. Again, very typical in these cases, and generally speaking, the judge does not grant those.
We'll throw that out. But are you saying, I'm sorry, we're having a little trouble hearing you, but we're going to have this conversation, Eric, but you're saying that the state is about to wrap up their case, the prosecution is about to wrap things up?
That's correct. That is what we understand, that the state is about ready to rest their case.
For 2 days, they have spent much of the time speaking specifically about the shots, the duration of the shots, the time lag between when Van Dyke got out of the squad car and began firing. 6 seconds after he got out of the squad car, he started firing, and for 14 seconds, he fired 16 shots, and we went over the position of them in the body, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm a little surprised that that is the extent, if they retire soon, of their case.
Right before they took this last break, they did have another eyewitness on the stand by the name of Jose Torres, who was got any bit of an argument with defense attorneys about that night and what he was able to see from his car. He was driving down Pulaski and had pulled over and said that he saw Laquan McDonald walking down Pulaski and making no threatening moves toward Jason Van Dyke or Officer Walsh, former Officer Walsh now, and was walking away from him when he was shot. And the defense attorneys, again, very argumentative with the witness, saying that how could he see that when there were police cars in his way? He said, that is not what happened. I had a clear view.
Yeah.
So that's what the state rested their case on, or at least we believe that they have rested their case on. That's the word that we're getting. But they also, you know, you were talking about the amount of time it took Jason Van Dyke to fire those 16 rounds. The first witness of the day, Scott Patterson, he was an expert in FBI ballistics. And that was really interesting testimony because what he did was he tried to recreate, not necessarily what Jason Van Dyke saw that night, but recreate the ability for a person to shoot 16 shots. And he had an expert do it, a competition shooter do it, and he was able to get off 16 shots in about 5 seconds. Then he had him do it again in about the same amount of time that it took Jason Van Dyke to shoot 16 shots. And the prosecution then asked him about that, and he said in order to do it at 14 seconds or 14.1 seconds, he had time to deliberately and methodically think about each shot and to also aim each shot, which was very interesting testimony from the ballistics expert today.
When we did, and the point being that he could have stopped, it wasn't, as a lot of us imagined, an almost nervous gut reflex or instinct that an officer has, fire, 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 take, get the man down. He could have paused.
Right.
He could
exactly.
have reasoned
well, and,
out
know,
what he was doing.
The defense tried to counter that. The defense tried to counter that a little bit by asking him, you know, if you are going to shoot 16 shots, that's one thought, right? And the witness answered, yes, that is one thought, if that's what I'm trying to do. So a little bit of a difference there, but what the defense was trying to get in front of the jury is that if you are going to shoot 16 shots, you're not thinking about each individual shot. You're going to do it all in one motion.
The defense only needs to convince one person that Jason Van Dyke was a threat or a continued threat. And it's interesting to me then they posed all of these scenarios or possibilities. For instance, suppose he's on the ground, and is there a possibility that he could have gotten back up, that he hadn't yet died, or that he might be able to still harm somebody with that knife? Is it possible that he could have lunged at you guys with that knife? He was menacing. Since he wasn't behaving in a rational manner or obeying any of the police orders along the way, doesn't that increase the probability that this person will behave erratically, that they won't do what the police want him to do? In all of these instances, they might have been able to answer yes. Sometimes they did, and it plants the seed that McDonald was a threat. Again, it's up to the jury as to whether or not they agree with that. But if you agree, do you agree with me, Eric, that that's at least what they were trying to do?
Oh, yeah. They were trying to throw a lot of hypotheticals out there to kind of base their case that McDonald was this menacing person that was going around slashing tires and trying to stab people. And I mean, there's no question that's what they're trying to do. But the expert witness on the use of force that the prosecution put up there today, Yuri Patrick, had testified you know, dozens and dozens of times in the use of force, use of deadly force. And he, in his testimony, said after reviewing the case, reviewing grand jury testimony, at no time was Jason Van Dyke or any officer at that point justified in shooting Laquan McDonald. And even when he was on the ground, even if he had been a threat, the shots that were fired into McDonald as he laid on Pulaski were unnecessary and unjustified too. And he made the point that when an officer chooses to use deadly force, that it is to stop the imminent threat of harm to himself or to another. He said by that time when Laquan was on the ground, he was not a threat to anybody at that point.
No kidding. Okay, that's my editorial comment there. No kidding. Okay, Eric, go back into the courtroom. Continue to report to us. We appreciate your time this afternoon.
Will do. Thanks, John.
Walter Jacobson, our studio. Hi, Walter Jacobson. How are you?
I'm just fine, John. Thank you for asking.
You've been watching and listening to and reading about the Van Dyke coverage. What are you saying today?
As much as I could, but it'd be better to be in the courtroom, which I have not had a chance to do. My feeling about this is that we're missing the main point. You made a reference to it when you started this conversation a few minutes ago, and that is that all the testimony, all the questions, all the arguments today and the past couple of days has been about where those bullets landed. I think there's a much deeper question here. In my mind, this is not so much a question of a murder. What is a murder? We can talk about that too. In my mind, this is more of a question of human bias and lack of objectivity, and how unbiased and how objective can any human being in a case like this? And this case reflects the gap between whites and blacks in this community and in the whole nation. These decisions are made by people who have opinions. They deny it. These people wanted to be on the jury, I suppose, most of them, for reasons that we assume are fair enough. You know, it's interesting to be on a murder jury. I'd like to be on a murder jury.
It's a civic responsibility.
Right. But I would find it terribly difficult, really, to be on and be responsible for the life in jail for a policeman or responsible for the death of McDonald.
Do you think that the jury should have been seated outside of Cook County?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm disturbed that Judge Gaughan did not do that and still won't do that. He could do it anytime he wants to do. He said he is having the case done here because he believes, and these are his words, in the faith of the people of Cook County. Now, what does he mean by that? How can he was so insistent on not moving this trial out of Cook County because he had faith in the people of Cook County to be objective. Come on. I mean, that's just absurd. How can anybody be objective? We all, especially in our business, John, we try to come to stories with objectivity. I suffer with that question all the time.
Well, no kidding. I mean, I've made up my mind about this. I don't know that I would be a fair juror then. I've seen the video so many times. I know how I feel about this case.
Right.
Maybe I would not have been selected, although I'm not an African-American, but to be honest with you, I've thought all along, there's no way Van Dyke can get away with this. He murdered that kid in the street. There's my bias.
Okay, and if the judge said to you, that is a bias, and therefore I don't want you on the jury, do you think you would be disappointed that you didn't have that opportunity? But that's not really all that important either. You know?
Not my participation. Right. But if your point is that we've all here in Cook County formed opinions about this, I think that's true. And the judge says you can get over that hurdle.
Well, how can he say that? How is it possible to get over that hurdle? 4 million people have seen that videotape of the shooting, and he's going to find 12 among those 4 million. Of course, he's only had the jury pool of about 200, but he's going to find 12 people who say honestly that they don't have an opinion, and in fact, maybe they think they don't have an opinion. But I don't see how you cannot have an opinion.
Walter, you're not suggesting that you're not giving me your opinion about the case.
No.
Self, are you? You're
no.
not telling me guilty or innocent.
No, I'm telling you that it's impossible for anybody to say, as the judge is saying, that this case can be decided on an objective basis by people whom he has faith in.
Here in Cook County.
Yes. Yeah. Why not? What's the problem in moving it? You know, you remember Richard Speck murder? He killed the 8 student nurses. His case was heard in Peoria.
Yes, it was.
And John Wayne Gacy, his jury selection was done in Rockford. I mean, that was sensible. Why is it so important for this judge to hold this case here? Well, you know, the battle in the courtroom now should be, it hasn't been enough of it in my opinion, is why each side thinks the case should be heard here. Each side had experts in trials, psychologists who earned PhD in figuring out people's motivations. And interesting to know that that the prosecution's results of the surveys of the potential jurors was that 86% had not, prosecution said this, had not heard about the case. 4 years of this since the shooting was.
You don't buy that, huh?
No. And I don't say that they're lying. I think they may believe that they didn't hear about it, but I don't see how it's possible that they didn't. But 86% of them that the prosecution expert surveyed said that they had not heard about the case and definitely did not have an opinion. The defense's experts also degreed PhDs in psychology, and they conducted interviews around the city and the county, and they said, you ready? 86% of the people we talked to said that they had an opinion.
Move it out of Cook County. They didn't.
What's the problem with moving it out of Cook County?
I don't know, but the prosecution has just retired. They have rested their case. So it's the defense's turn now, and it appears as though it's going to finish here.
That's I was very surprised to hear that, just as you were.
Nice to talk to you again, Walter. We'll continue to listen to you with Steve.
Well, thank you, John, for having me in.
By the way, the top question of the day, Maroon 5, yes or no, Super Bowl. Where were you on that one, Steve? I forget now.
Yeah, I'm indifferent. I wish they didn't do it.
You know, oh, that's right. That's like asking Steve A or B, and he says C. The question is, should Maroon 5 be the Super Bowl halftime show? And you say, I don't like Super Bowl halftime shows.
Right.
Yeah. So thanks, Steve. That's very helpful. Interesting. Huh. So then what do you want them to do in those 20 minutes when they're in the locker room? The team, what do you want to have out on the lawn?
Well, I think they're probably in the locker room like 45 minutes because they do that stupid show.
Right.
I'd rather have maybe analysis on the game, something like that. Break.
Well, that works for the team, I guess. Right. You could just have the horseshoe of guys going, well, I think they need to have more defense in the second half.
I mean, what do they do during the halftime of other games during the season and playoffs?
I don't know, Steve.
More commercials.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the commercials.
The commercials used to be a really big part of the Super Bowl experience, and while they are still, I don't think there's the wonder and awe, the glee, the fun, the amazement, the discovery of them that there used to be.
They release them before now. That's
the
problem.
Right.
And they're political.
And they're so controversial anymore. You know, can't we just get somebody eating chips and everybody having a laugh?
Don't you think the halftime show, it's so overstaged. You know, you've got teenagers all dressed in the same color.
Yeah, I know.
Trucked out onto the field to pretend like they're having the time of their lives.
I don't like that part. Yeah.
Well, which part do you like?
Thanks, Steve. I hate it. No, I don't even. I think they should cancel the game. Thanks, right. Steve. Okay, well, let's move on to something more pleasant then.
Okay.
So they've got this Art on the Mart exhibit, which is going to start a week from this weekend. And this will be the largest display of its kind in the world, and unlike anything you've ever seen before, I think. In our studio is Cynthia Noble. She is the executive director of Art. Is it On the Mart? Or
Art on the Mart.
Art on the Mart. Hi, Cynthia. How are you?
Hello. Thank you.
What do you do?
I'm the executive director of Art on the Mart. And as you mentioned, it's the largest permanent digital art projection in the world. I'm very delighted to be part of this project that will launch September 29th.
So something's going to be shined on the surface of the merchandise mart?
Yes. We are projecting artworks with no sponsorship or branding of any sort. So kind of pure art experience across over 2.5 acres of the river facade of the mart, which is to help conceptualize that. That's larger than 2 football fields.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't like football, as you may have heard. So just forget that and do this. And so is it laser light that's putting it on there? Because my understanding is that in order to accommodate for the various contours of the building and the distance and the so forth, you need very sharp, sort of precise imagery. So how are we going to get all of that?
Yes, the technology is fascinating and absolutely up to date. We're using 34 projectors in partnership with our tech partner, Obscure Digital. And they are all being calibrated, and we're creating convergences to create projections that are over 1 million lumens, which is an incredible brightness. It will be the most current way of projecting works, and we're very pleased with the quality that we're able to project.
So the art that's going to be projected on the facade of the Merchandise Mart, will it be art that I'm familiar with, or are they all going to be original new works that I'll see?
What's wonderful about the works of art is that they're all extremely accessible. So we hope everyone will come with their families and friends to see four works that are created by artists and also some content created by Obscura themselves. The artists include two brought to Art on the Mart from the Terra Foundation for American Art as part of their Art Design Chicago initiative in 2018. Those two artists are Jan Tishy and Jason Salivan, who have been commissioned to create these brand new works. And we're, the Mart is also bringing Diana Thader and Zhang Chongbin. So both local Chicago artists and artists that bring an even greater international perspective.
So on any given night when I go to see this original art, I'm not going to see the Mona Lisa up there, right? I'm not going to see the Last Supper. Is that correct?
Not yet, but we do have the capabilities to project both new works and to use the proprietary software that that has been developed for this project in order to project familiar images as well if we choose to do so in the future.
You could do the Last Supper because that kind of runs the length of the building. You could see how that
It's an
would
excellent
work.
Horizontal format, absolutely.
I guess that's what I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it's funny, though, because say you do the Last Supper. This is just a tangent. We don't need to spend a lot of time on it. But then somebody will say, well, what about my faith or what about this? So maybe there are some things that you just don't even want to go down that road. We'll just do as family-friendly, neutral an imagery as possible.
Well, the great thing about this project is that it will run for 30 years. We have a partnership with the city that will allow the project to endure. And so we'll have the opportunity to represent many voices and perspectives, and that's absolutely one of our objectives. That said, I want to encourage everyone to join us for the launch again on September 29th, beginning at 6:30, because it will be a very unique time to see these artworks, complete with audio. That will be the unique opportunity to also hear the works of art through temporary speakers that we're installing on Wacker Drive and in portions of the Riverwalk. So we encourage everyone to come for that particular event.
On the 29th, audio meaning speakers who will talk about what we're seeing? Is that what you mean?
Actual physical speakers that will broadcast sound, audio associated with the works of art that the artists have chosen.
Music, in other words?
Soundscapes, let's say.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So some sort of ethereal sound that matches the mood that we're seeing.
Exactly. And then going forward, that sound will be available through our website, artonthemart.com. But again, to come out on the 29th will be an even more immersive experience. And I think everyone will want to be part of this historic unveiling on the night itself.
No kidding. Will the imagery change on any given night? Or if I go on the 29th, I'm going to see, or the 30th, say, I'll see that image, the one image for the 2 hours that night. Does it, or does it rotate?
After the launch evening and after the launch weekend, I should say, we're going to run the works of art in a kind of loop over the 2 hours that we will project each evening.
Oh, so I would see multiple images over the 2 hours.
That's correct.
Four?
And five, actually, because we're including the content produced by Obscura Digital as well, which is fascinating. They're bringing a unique perspective as well. So this first group of projections that launches on Saturday, September 29th, will be on view through the end of this year, through the end of 2018.
So they change out every 20 or 30 minutes or so, a new one would come up, in other words, right?
The art projections, because they're works of art, they're each individual, and they have varying durations, and so they range from about 4 minutes to about 10 minutes per piece.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you make them say, you say they have durations. It's not video that I'm watching, though, is it?
The initial set of projections do happen to be videos. But another wonderful thing about this project is that we are not limited to video. So in the future, we might show still works that are animated through the proprietary software and filtered through giving treatments almost like filters that people are familiar with.
I understand that, but back to my, say, Last Supper then, I would imagine that just projected up on the side and it would be static. That's how I've been imagining this, but no, these images I'm going to see are fluid, huh? I'm going to be watching a video on the side of the merchandise market.
There is quite a bit of motion,
really?
Particularly for the inaugural set of projections, but the possibilities are limitless. So there might be opportunities where we would want to hold an image for a duration as well.
Are you getting tired of everybody's bright ideas? Like they're saying, okay, here's what you should do. But you know how they show a whale breaching? Wouldn't it be cool to see a whale kind of swimming across, breaching above the merchandise mark, coming back down? Could they do something like that?
Absolutely. Again, the possibilities are limitless, and just the opposite. We're not at all tired by new ideas. In fact, we see this inaugural installation really as an invitation to other individual artists, to potential cultural organizational partners, et cetera, in order to dream with us, to imagine the potential of this transformative platform.
you know, my mind goes to promotional boosterism ideas, and maybe that's this is art. It's not marketing. So where I'm thinking of, if the Cubs win the World Series again, wouldn't it be fun to show a projection, a video, or some sort of artwork representing the Cubs, and we'd go and look at that. Are you thinking along those lines, or am I off base here?
We're committed to the idea of no sponsorship or branding. And that said, we very much want to be in alignment with the cultural moments in the city. And I think this project is going to evolve very much, and we continue to be very open to a range of possibilities.
How do you? Yeah, right. But, you know, I'm glad you're saying that. I'm glad that, God bless the Cubs or the Blackhawks or the White Sox, they're going to win the World Series in 3 years. But let's not do that. I mean, there's ample opportunity for parades, and teams can celebrate themselves however they want. Let's do something that's art. How's a good way to view it, though, right? I mean, are you going to have bleachers, or how do I watch this?
For the launch evening on September 29th, the best places to view will be on Upper Wacker Drive, directly in front of the Mart, or on the Riverwalk, because, in fact, we have the opportunity to even have some street closures, so pedestrians will be very comfortable to be able to be on Upper Wacker Drive, enjoying food trucks, enjoying a lantern procession
from Luminite.
On the 29th.
Thereafter, how will you recommend I view it?
I think it will shift a bit. I think some people will choose to enjoy it as a kind of program, to sit and take in the whole 2 hour
along
run.
Along the riverfront.
Along the riverfront. And it's viewable beyond the bridges that flank the Mart as well. So beyond Wells to the east and beyond Franklin to the west. There are many points in the loop where the projections are quite visible.
I guess I'm just wondering if there's going to be room for everybody. I could see there being sufficient crowd. Do you have any idea how, you know, this will flow in terms of pedestrian or boat or auto traffic?
Right. I think some people will enjoy it as a run of show and on an ongoing basis. Others will simply make it part of their daily commute, whether as pedestrians, again, passing on a boat, etc. And it'll become part of the fabric of the city.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine being in one of those little electric putt boats you can rent and just parking it there and looking, or sitting on a park bench and sneaking a glass of wine, or don't slink a glass of wine. You're not supposed to slink a glass of wine. Not supposed to do that. And maybe a restaurant that had a view could, you know, do a special.
Absolutely. There'll be so many ways to enjoy it, and it'll have appeal in different ways to all kinds of audiences.
Question on line one is Russ. Russ, you're on WGN Radio. What did you need to know? You're on the air.
Hi. We were in France a couple of years ago and went to into this town, and they were showing this video on the side of a building, and it was Knights of the Round Table, and it had dragons, and it actually motion throughout the on the building, which it was just amazing. Are you thinking about doing anything like that, or will they be mainly still shots?
Well, we kind of talked a little bit about that. Thanks for the call. Let her respond. But it's not going to be static. It will be motion, right? So there'll be activity here, correct?
Yes, there'll be, over time, a combination of moving and still images. And I'm so glad that you pointed out another projection in the world, because it gives me the opportunity to share what's really distinct about this project, Art on the Mart, and that it's not only the largest digital projection in the world, but the longest standing. So oftentimes you'll see projections that are pop-up or marking certain anniversaries. And so, again, this is one that will really transform the city through its longevity and through its scale.
Where will the projectors be?
The projectors are installed very unobtrusively across the Mart, across the river, kind of in a space that inhabits below Wacker Drive, but above the Riverwalk.
So nobody's going to walk in front of it. Hey, sit down! You're in front of the thing!
No, the sight lines are perfect from the projectors, and the Riverwalk remains very open to pedestrians. There is no additional obstruction.
There's no charge in any way for any vantage
point. It's absolutely free, open to the public. We welcome all.
Isn't this great? I heard about this a year ago. I have been enthusiastic about it ever since. And we are 9 days away. 9 days away, right? Next Saturday night will be its launch. Well, congratulations to everybody that's involved. I'm really anxious to see it. I will have more brilliant ideas for you about stuff you should put up there. Ones of me holding a WGN banner. Oh, wait, that's commercial. That's branding. We're not doing that, right?
Thank you very much.
Cynthia, thanks for coming in. Okay, so Cynthia Noble is the Executive Director of Art on the Mart. By the way, is there a website people should go to if they just want to know more about it?
Yes, artonthemart.com.
Huh, what a coincidence. Artonthemart.com. Cynthia, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Next Saturday night. Sunday morning, rain is falling. This comes on your TV in halftime. Still some color, share some skin. I love this song. They're shrouding us in moments
unforgettable. You twist to fit the mold. Okay, I like it too.
Remember this song? It's fun, isn't it? Things just get so crazy living. Life gets hard to do.
And I would gladly hit the road, get up and go if I knew. Who is this? That someday it would lead
me back to you. I don't know one word, but I love that it. That someday it would lead me
back to you. So I said hooray. Elif said I don't like Maroon 5 anymore. Violetta was okay, but she didn't think that they had all of the dance skills that she wants from like a Bruno Mars, Beyonce type performance. And then Bertrand said that they shouldn't have football anymore.
No, I didn't. But I'm digging in. Really, I mean, I know you have a talk show and this is what everyone's talking about or people are talking about, but who cares? I mean, it's 5 months from now. It's a 20-minute, you know what I mean? I mean,
no,
it's not
this
like
is, no, this
it's
is...
not like it's the Rolling Stones or, but, you know, it's...
But, no,
it's
but just, we always analyze the halftime show. So this is
like I
the
know, Rolling but Stones. It's September.
It's supposed to be this huge, great thing, Steve.
And it is a huge, great thing. And the Rolling Stones were.
That was different a little bit.
It's funny, though, when you walk through the people who have done it. You guys were talking about this earlier. Super Bowl 14, Up With People. 15, Southern Methodist University Marching Band. Then the next year, Up With People. Then the next year, the Los Angeles Super Drill Team.
So what would that
Ladies
have been?
And gentlemen, please welcome the Los Angeles Super Drill Team. What?
So Super Bowl 14, that would have been like 79, maybe, or something like that.
Okay.
I'm just trying to put it back in the
1980.
Years. 1980.
Yeah,
okay,
right,
yeah.
Yeah. So, in 1985, which wasn't that long ago, please welcome for the Super Bowl halftime show, the United States Air Force Band.
So, is that the 84 season? That wasn't the Bears halftime.
That would have been the, I'm not sure, well, that would have been where the Bears.
The Bears would have played in 86, but it was the 85 season, so I don't know.
It says 1985, so that would have been the 1984 season, 1985 Super Bowl, I believe, and that would have been Super Bowl 19.
Yeah, so 20 was the Bears.
Up With People with
who
the Bears.
Is that right? Right.
Times have changed. Because now, you get into more. When you get into the aughts, you get Aerosmith, U2, Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake. Remember that year. Paul McCartney, Rolling Stones, Prince, Bruce Springsteen, The Who, Madonna, Beyonce, the biggest bands in the world. The most important, you know, musicians and singers in the world. And you get Maroon 5.
Okay, have you looked? I'm trying to find real quickly here.
What?
What year the In Living Color...
You are hung up on that.
Well, I think it's significant. So it was 19... Looks like it was maybe Super Bowl 26.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so yeah. That would have been what, 91, 92?
Correct.
When did they start stepping up the NFL Super Bowl halftime show?
I don't know, but I get your point that it probably coincided with that. I got to take a break. We'll finish this conversation on the other side. Also, in the next hour, we'll also be talking about the story in the Tribune about something good that happened on an L, on one of the L trains not that long ago. I'm anxious to talk to the woman who is part of that.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Sometimes.
Here's John Williams.
I farmed that out. Hi. It's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're wearing Allstate headphones next to a Allstate microphone looking at an Allstate banner. Thank you, Allstate. Fortunately, my favorite colors are blue and white. We're in the studios all the way until 3 on weekdays. Saturdays, 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Don't miss our Mincing Rascals podcast. The gang got going today. We just recorded it before the show. We'll put the finest, the final editing polishes or touches on it after the show today, and then we'll post the latest Mincing Rascals podcast.
Have you finished yet?
No, I have not, but Bertrand, not editing it, but Steve was mad because we use the same studio that he uses for his Wintrust business hour at noon.
Just need a moment to gather myself.
And so they were looking at us on the other side of the glass going, wrap it up, wrap it up, get out of the studio.
I mean, I was there for 85% of it. It wasn't worth that. It wasn't that good.
It was a pretty good one, especially when you left, and it really picked up. So we finished it, and then switched studios with you. You did your thing, and we'll post the Mincing Rascals. Judged this year the best podcast in the city of Chicago. We post a news click every day at WGNRadio.com. Here's our daily web poll question. Elif.
Do you like Maroon 5 for the Super Bowl halftime show? A, yes. B, no.
I'm a big fat yes. Elif, where are you on this one now?
Have you come around?
Elif is a no. Violetta likes the music, doesn't think they dance well enough. And Steve Bertrand is coming around. Steve's coming around.
What do you mean?
He just stopped listening.
Last year it was Coldplay, Beyonce, Bruno Mars. I would travel to see Bruno Mars.
Same.
Who's more entertaining than Bruno Mars? The halftime show was made for Bruno Mars. Year before that, Katy Perry, Lenny Kravitz, Missy Elliott. Year before that, Bruno Mars again, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Before that, Destiny's Child, Beyonce. Remember them?
Yeah, that was great.
Miss them.
Then Madonna. Before that, Black Eyed Peas. But really, it's sort of like you could be a professional baseball player, but at the end of the day, you want to have a World Series ring. I think if you are in this class, the stamp of your enduring greatness is going to be, you know, maybe a Grammy, but isn't it going to be, I was a Super Bowl halftime performer. That means I was one of the biggest acts in the world. So you are Bruce Springsteen, you're Prince, you're the Stones, you're Paul McCartney, you are U2, you're Stevie Wonder, and now you're Maroon 5. So, and some people say, oh, no, you're not Maroon 5. Oh, no, you're not. David Hochberg strolled into our studio. Hi, David Hochberg.
Hey, John.
How are you? Hold on, there you are.
He's Adam Levine's biggest fan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, I love Adam Levine. I can't get enough of Adam Levine.
You're making that up now, aren't you?
Big poster. I was at the concert last Friday.
Oh, no kidding. Where were they?
At the United Center.
I didn't hear about that. Was that in all the papers?
It was in all the papers. It was sold out. And
how was the show?
The show was great. I'm not a big fan, but all the women there were 19,000.
He's kind of pretty.
Oh, my God.
They were
going crazy. Yeah, so put on a great show. I mean, there was an hour and a half just solid rocking out. So, yeah, it's fun. Good time. Wife had fun. That's all that matters.
Yeah, no kidding.
Rocking out to Maroon 5. I'd like to see David Hochberg doing that.
I was in the back eating hot dogs in the suite while they were rocking out and answering emails. But my wife had a good time.
You're that guy from Pearl Mortgage. We do your commercials on the radio. Sometimes you sing to our studios.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And I just had a couple financial questions I wanted to ask you. The market is closing in on 27,000. We're up 270 points today. Does that mean anything to, now it's up 282, to me as a potential home buyer or a person with equity in my house? Does this mean anything to me?
Well, it typically means higher interest rates because when the market's good, the bond market typically has to go higher in order to attract the money into bonds that would typically go into the stock market. So it typically means when the stock market's rocking up that, you know, interest rates are going to go up as well. And we've seen a correlation with that over the past year.
What's the 30-year fix right now?
Ballpark number. It's going to start with probably like 4.75.
Is that the right? Is that the right question to ask? Right, 30-year fix. That's the sort of standard bearer.
That's the bellwether rate that most people go for. At this time, a couple years ago, it was at 3.75. So now we're at 4.75, approaching 5.
Okay. So what?
So what? Exactly. I mean, it's the cost of money. If you're going to buy a house, that's the going rate today. Right? We still have people saying, well, I want 4.375. And I'm like, well, that's great. You're about a year too late, and I want to get into a pair of 32-inch pants. I go, that's not happening anytime soon.
Still, I had a 10.5. I had a 10.5.
And you were happy.
I was, because we were out of the teens then.
Yeah.
Granted, that was a long time ago. So does that point of mine make any sense to you? Should people be happy? I mean, don't complain about 4.75.
The market is the market, John. You can't fight it. You can't fight it. You can't fight it. And if you want to sit there, wait for it. Are you a bond trader? The answer, most of the people that are listening aren't bond traders, except the bond traders that are listening.
I know somebody who wants to buy a house.
Yes, sir.
They have $35,000 saved.
Okay. How's their credit?
I don't know the answer to the question you might be asking, but I'm going to say good.
Income?
Say 100.
Are they renting or do they currently own another house?
Renting.
Okay, so they don't have to sell a house to buy another house.
Correct, but that means all they've got is 35 to put down.
That's a lot of money.
For what? I mean, so what can you? What, so if you want to put 20% down with 35,000 down,
right? You're gonna have to. That's. I mean, you're talking $300,000 home, for example. 10% down is $30,000.
Okay, so but right, this, closing costs. So then they would have to pay PMI, wouldn't they? They'd have to pay mortgage insurance.
Right? We've
Who
had this
does?
A Do lot you? Of people. I love PMI. PMI is a cost. You have life insurance, John?
You should put 20% down and not pay.
Sure, and everybody should walk 10,000 steps a day. And
no, but I mean, you should. Hear me out.
I'm trying.
I thought the logic was wait until you have 20%.
That's an old school logic, yes. That's some people still live by that. But flip side is that most people nowadays trying to buy their first home have about $100,000 to $200,000 worth of student loan debt. Most people today are buying homes with $20,000 to $40,000 worth of credit card debt, which is a little crazy, in my opinion. I'd much rather them buy a home for 3% down, which you could get into with the Fannie Mae loan, Freddie Mac loan for 3%. You get into a FHA loan for 3.5% down. If you're a veteran, you could get in with zero down. If you're buying in a rural area, there's USDA loans for zero down as
Why
well.
Why are you so anxious for these people to buy homes, except that they might use you to get the money?
I'm not anxious at all. I'm just answering your question. I'm just saying there are alternative financing options out there that you do not need 20% to put down. I would much rather, okay, I'll give you a yin to your yang, because I know you like my yangs. Let's say that the person with $35,000 has $10,000 worth of credit card debt, which most likely they do. That $10,000 worth of credit card debt on a minimum monthly basis, a 4% minimum payment, is $400 a month, okay? So I would much rather have the buyer of a home take 10 G's out of that 35 and pay off that $10,000 worth of credit card debt, because that $10,000 to finance it is only going to cost them a couple of bucks a month instead of $400 a month on their credit cards. Not only is it going to be a lot less of a monthly payment by them paying off their credit card, even with the PMI, their credit scores are going to go up. Higher the credit score, lower the interest rate. Lower the interest rate, lower the monthly payment. Higher the credit score, lower the PMI they're going to be paying as well. So there are a lot of things going on. I respect your old school thinking that you need to put 20% down.
Well, in a perfect world, you've got 20%. Better to not be paying PMI, right?
Well, that's your opinion. But some people.
Well, no, but I mean, if I didn't have any credit card debt and I had money to put down, I would put down 20% and not pay PMI. I'm throwing it out the window then.
But a lot of people don't have, if you're buying a $300,000 home, $60,000 to put down for 20%, then another $4,000 or $5,000 in closing costs, right? Title, insurance, attorney.
Right, because with $30,000 down, you can only afford a $150,000 house, which is plenty of house, depending on where you live and what you want to do. But I mean, that would be the threshold in my scenario. If you have $30,000 and you don't want to pay PMI, then you probably can't get something for over $150,000.
Well, that's 20% down.
Correct. Is the other side of the ledger, though, say if PMI is over here, is the other side of the ledger that if you go ahead and pay private mortgage insurance, you only put 10% down, but here's what you get: the deductibility of your mortgage payment
up to a certain income level. Check with your CPA,
and you get to also enjoy the appreciation of that home each year, right?
Yes.
I mean, that has to offset some of the expenses on the other side.
Not only are you doing that, you're also paying down your principal, and when you get to a 20% basis, you could contact your lender to see if they'd be willing to drop the PMI, and then the PMI goes away.
Ella said we had to take a break. We will, and come back with if you've got a question or comment about this. The number is 312-981-7200. I've been arguing with him for months and months now about whether or not somebody should buy a house without 20% down. You know what I think is in the back of my mind too, David, is the trouble that everybody got into before the real estate crash when they were buying houses with no money down or were borrowing 102%. You know what I mean? You appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I could appreciate that, but the wild west days of mortgages are over. The days where you could do negative amortization and you could get in with no money down and you could buy seven different condos by putting a $5,000 deposit down and buildings would get sold out and people were playing the float where they would sell the condo before, you know, after it got done to somebody else and make a quick 50 G's and then go buy, instead of one more, they'd go buy two more. And then what happened? It was a musical chairs, and you know the music stopped, and there were only one or two seats left for about $100.
Yeah, exactly.
And the whole thing collapsed.
What did you make of the story? A colleague of ours here came in. Somebody knocked on her condo door, and for that six flats said, hey, we want to buy you all out and turn this into rentals.
Yeah.
And other friends of ours, it was a high-rise condo.
Yeah.
And somebody bought the whole thing out, and they all had to move out.
Yeah.
What's your comment on that?
Actually, we helped a lady who was in that condo that you're talking about buy a home in Park Ridge. So she was able to liquidate the condo, made a ton of money, and bought a single-family house to get her kids into the school district that she wanted in Park Ridge. What do I think is going on? Well, if you take a look at it, Chicago real estate, even though it's expensive in our eyes, it's still cheap when you're comparing it to New York and San Francisco and California. So when you compare it to the coasts, it's still very, very, very cheap. When you're talking about $300-$400 a square feet, they're paying $1,100 to $1,500 a square feet on the East and West Coast.
So are people converting these condos into rentals or to single home?
They're decommissioning.
Single family.
Yes. So what they're doing is both. But if you take a look at what your friend was doing, right? There's a six-unit condo building. If you run the numbers, it all makes sense, right? It might not make sense at first, but when I started running the numbers, it all makes sense. You buy it for 2.5, okay? The most expensive part about building a condo is building it, right? Foundations and putting the outside up. That's all done. So what are you going to do? You're going to go in, you're going to hire a real estate attorney to change the property index numbers. You're going to put a wall up in between. Either you're going to make one ginormous single-family home, or you're going to do two single-family homes side-by-side with an attached wall. Okay, with the wall that separates the unit. If you're spending that much money, think about it, okay? You're going to go down, have a 2-3 car garage in the basement, and you could finish the basement. So not only do you have three stories, you have four. Plus, you've got roof access with beautiful views of the city.
For the two families?
For two families. It could be one family that wants a gigantic house in the middle of the city, which might sound crazy to some, but when you start doing it per square foot, it's $400 or $500 a square foot. If you're coming in with all the stuff that's going on in the West Loop with all this technology company, they're farming in, you're bringing in a ton of these executives that are used to California real estate numbers. San Francisco, it's like $1 million for an 1,100 square foot condo. It's
crazy.
Nuts.
It's crazy.
New York, they're paying $700-$800 for a parking space. So when you start looking at like that and these executives coming in, deconverting these condos into single family homes or two single family homes makes sense on paper. And it might be crazy, like, okay, well, you're going to pay $4 million for that, and you're going to pay $800,000 in real estate taxes. Yeah, well, somebody's going to pay $80,000 in real estate taxes. Yeah, somebody's going to pay that. And it, what might seem expensive to our listeners and me and you, which is a little mashuggy, right? it fits right in the wheelhouse of somebody else that could easily afford to do that.
Yeah.
So I think what you're going to see is a lot more of that out there. Don't be surprised. And in the condo decks and bylaws, it's all done by square footage. So the larger units get more of that kitty that they're throwing out there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. As my friend
unfortunately,
well knows.
Unfortunately, if it's over that 75% or whatever that number is, where everybody's got to vote, and you're the one that doesn't want to vote, and the other five want to take the cash. Guess what, sister? Boom! Start packing your stuff. But in this case, she told me that it fell through, and the person with the money and the company with the money backed out at the last minute.
Yeah, but on other friends of ours, they didn't. They didn't necessarily want to move, and they did.
They took over the entire building.
I'm amazed that can even happen.
It happens all the time.
We're out of time. It's 2:30. Ella said, you got to take a break because we want to read part of a story in the Tribune about something that happened on the L the other day that was a sad story that has a silver lining. It's really heartwarming. We'll talk to the woman that's behind that. It was on page one, I think, of the Tribune today. We'll get to all of that. And David, thanks for coming in and saying hi.
Thanks for having me, bud.
By the way, if people want to reach you, how do they do that?
Very simple, 312-751-1333. They could go to WGNDavid.com. We started a daily reverse mortgage newsletter that they could go to WGNDavid.com to sign up. It's free. It'll go out every morning, and valuable information about reverse mortgages.
Kind of misty and humid as I was coming to work today. I rode my bike from up by Wrigley downtown through Lincoln Park. And as I was riding my bicycle through Lincoln Park this morning, I heard somebody say, bingo! Bingo, come here. Come on, Bingo.
They weren't mocking you, were they?
Bingo is the name of the dog that I put down on Tuesday. Brenda and I went over to that wonderful place, the Bloom Animal Hospital. They've been the veterinarian for our family for a while now, and we took the dog there, and we had to put Bingo down. That was a hard day for us. I have never heard somebody call out, hey, Bingo, come here, Bingo, come on, Bingo. And as I'm riding my bike by, that's what I'm listening to. And it did give me pause. But only briefly, I told you earlier this week, because I felt I should, that I'm not going to be talking about pushing our dog around in the G7 Action Stroller, now with mesh canopy, because we had to let him go. And the text messages that have come in, I just want to read a couple. Because you all are so nice, and I so appreciate your kindness to Brenda and to me and to my family. We all know how difficult this is. But you have said things like, gee, John, if the spelling is off in this text message, it is because of my tears. I share your pain and will keep you in my prayers. 608 says, John, I had to pull off the road. I couldn't see. Bingo was so lucky to have you. Thanks for being human. 630, another caller or texter said, so sorry for your loss. Saying goodbye to our pets is so hard. 847, sorry, John, your story brought tears to my eyes. I was not trying to put tears in anybody's eyes on Tuesday when I was telling you this story. In fact, I thought I was being pretty rote about it. 847, John, I'm in tears. So sorry for the best decision for Bingo. Hey, John, that's the nickname I have for my dog, said 331. John, there's a lot of things I disagree with you about. However, concerning Bingo, you have our deepest sympathies. So thank you all for the really nice notes. It's not an easy decision, and that's the one that we had to make. We don't regret it. And in fact, I told you, Steve, that I felt a little bit guilty about it because my dog has been so miserable for so long.
Your dog was instant. I mean, I remember when I was trying to, because I'm the cold-hearted one here.
It was a pain in the ass for a long time.
I was suggested you return the dog within a week.
You did.
I did, because...
I said, you can't do that.
Well, you took it from a shelter, and it was clearly very damaged from the get-go.
Yeah. So, no, your role then is to have, live in misery for a while.
Well, yeah.
And you said, no, you need to take the dog back. Now, we have two dogs. One is Daisy, the Dizzy Dappled Dachshund, and she's real skittish, and she's still at home. She's a little nervous now because she can count, but Bingo was okay. He was a little surly at times. He's a wiener dog. That's the way they'll often get, but he was just unable to be anymore. His caboose didn't work, and he whimpered a lot, and so it was time for him to go down. You're relating to this a little bit, I know, Steve, because your family's trying to figure out what to do, and it's not easy.
No, our dog's getting old, and it's hard, too, because I might be a little ahead of the rest of the family, which I don't want to be.
I know. Well, so the last two nights, for the first time in months, literally, I mean before the summer, maybe last spring, for the first time, the last two nights, Brenda and I have been able to sleep through the night. And I got to tell you something. If you wake up in the morning, having gone to sleep, say, at 11, if you wake up at 7 and haven't had to get up and carry a 20-pound baked potato out some steps to pee, your day is a lot better. I woke up the last couple days and went, wow, what's this feeling?
I mean, you're talking like a new parent whose baby finally sleeps through the night.
That's me. I'm like, holy cow, I feel refreshed. I haven't done this. I cannot tell you how refreshing this feeling is. And I thought, oh, gee, it was time. We'll take a break. Thanks for all of your text messages. And we all love our pets. And if you're struggling with one, too, I feel your pain. And my best to all of you as well. I appreciate your sharing such kindnesses with us. Speaking of which, there was a story about humans being nice to humans in the Tribune today, and the woman behind that story joins us next.
The iPhone X is 256G, which is huge.
I remember the first computer I bought was 560 megabytes of storage.
You had a computer in college?
We had the
Dave and I had stone tablets. Yeah. Mary, do you remember in college when you used paper and pen?
I was just thinking, how did I take notes? Oh, yeah. You know, my little trapper or whatever the heck I had.
Remember every 6 months they'd release a new legal pad? They'd have a big press conference.
Disrupting Mornings, the Steve Coppin Show, weekday 6 to 10 on 720 WGN.
At Joe Rizza Acura in Orland Park, you save more. Every new Acura in stock is always on sale. Choose from nearly 500 vehicles in stock. Take home a new 2019 Acura RDX, just $379 a month. Or a new 2019 Acura MDX, just $439 a month. With 0% APR on most 2018 Acuras, there's never been a better time to buy. Joe Rizza Acura on 159th Street in Orland Park. Visit RizzaAcura.com now. Payments are plus first month payment, tax, title, license, and doc fees. Qualified buyers with approved credit up to 7,500 miles. Offer expires 9/30/2018. 0% financing available on select models.
When the need for senior care arises, there's no place like home. Your loved ones should never have to give up living at home. Visiting Angels will provide home care for your mom or dad at home up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You'll select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. Look up visitingangels.com or call 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Franchises are available. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Attention, men. If you're out on a romantic date with that special someone, don't let this happen to you. Let me explain. You go out, buy your flowers, a candlelight dinner, maybe even a bottle of wine. And after dinner, you go back to your place. Things heat up, and when that intimate moment is about to happen, you're not able to perform. The evening becomes a disaster. You're embarrassed, and you feel like you let her down. Don't be that guy. Millions of men struggle to perform, and most never find a solution. Until now, you need to try Noxetril, the powerful male enhancement pill that will jumpstart your performance in the bedroom. It's like Viagra on steroids. So call now and find out how to get a free bottle. There's nothing to lose. And next time, you can skip the fancy dinner and be confident to order to go.
Call right now and get your free supply. 800-575-6039. 800-575-6039. It's like Viagra on steroids. Improve your sex life with your free supply. Call 800-575-6039. That's 1-800-575-6039.
Remember, Red Line Series, Cubs, Sox, they're on the south side. We're broadcasting from Cork and Kerry starting at 6 in the morning all the way until the pregame coverage at 2:30. That means we'll all be out there on this show, too, at this time tomorrow. Can you join us? It's sponsored by Goose Island Beer Company and Virtue Cider. Michael Kopech's dad's going to join us, and I'm looking forward to giving him a shout-out and wishing him and his family and his son well and keeping them part of White Sox Nation. That'll be at 1:35. Hey, are you tired of seeing your credit card balances go up month after month? You're not alone. According to recent CNBC report, consumer debt is scheduled to reach $4 trillion by the end of this year. That means your summer vacations and overnight camps and trips to grandma and school supplies, all of that's added up, and it's sitting there on your card. The bad news is there's no money fairy that makes it go away. The good news is home values have gone up, and Team Hochberg can help you consolidate credit card debt with a cash-out refi. They can lower your monthly payments. This is not the first or the last time you're going to hear a Team Hochberg ad encouraging you to refi. So what are you waiting for? Don't procrastinate. Just pick up that phone. David was here a minute ago, and I thought he made pretty good sense. Call 312-751-1333. 312-751-1333. Visit WGNDavid.com. Pearl Mortgage is an equal housing lender and an Illinois residential mortgage licensee. 4358, the NMLS ID number is 19186. Producer Elif, what is the news click today, please?
Do you like Maroon 5 for the Super Bowl halftime show? Yes, 69%.
69?
No, 31%.
I knew that last one. So, yeah, you're okay with that, despite what Twitter says. Here's what Laura Rodriguez said. She wrote a really nice piece in the Chicago Tribune today. I won't read it all, but let's start with this. Alexis Aguilar, 29, a single mother from the north side of Chicago, headed to the CTA Blue Line Addison stop for her commute to work. She got on the L around 5:30. And she noticed a Latino family, six children, some barefoot and dingy, and what appeared to be the mother and father attempting to sleep on the seats of the train. When I saw a barefoot girl lie down on the floor of the passway of the train, barefoot and cold, trying to sleep, my heart broke. And I knew something was wrong, she said. She tried to speak to the two adults to find out what was wrong and guide them to find help, but the communication was limited because of language barriers. She's not fluent in Spanish. It seemed like they had not slept or cleaned up for days, she said. She noticed that they seemed afraid to speak to her. She gave them a number to a shelter in the Chicago area, some water and some cash. Feeling helpless, Aguilar resorted to Facebook. She posted the video in which you see two children covering themselves with a small blue blanket, a barefoot girl lying in the corridor of the train, the two adults in seats with their heads down attempting to sleep, two other children in the back seats, and a child dressed in a red sweater. She hoped that by posting the video, someone in the community might recognize this family and offer them the help and resources they needed. Her video went viral. Alexis, you're on WGN Radio. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. That's part of your story. You're the woman in this story who is taking that video. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you is really not necessary. I really didn't know what to do. I kind of felt helpless myself in that moment.
So you, you took out your phone though and just shot a little video of them, huh?
I did.
For the purpose,
I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it was. I mean, it was 5:30 in the morning. There's a lot of people that sleep on the train at that time. That's normal. But when I saw the little girl kind of put out on the floor and she was barefoot and a little dirty, I was like, isn't anyone seeing what I'm seeing? Like, how come this isn't registering to other people? Like, other people just seem unfazed by it. And that's what bothered me, too.
There were other people on the train at the time, huh, besides you and them.
Yeah, it was like a semi-full car that was maybe like 15 other people on there, all kind of to themselves. And
looking at their phones. Yeah, I know.
Right.
It's funny because we've all been in various scenes like this where we just kind of look the other way. It's really comfortable. You wish you didn't come upon that scene. And very few of us have the, I don't know, kindness or courage to approach these people and do something. But you approached them and tried to talk to them, huh?
I did. I mean, I couldn't stand by and just do nothing. And, you know, there's all these kids. I only noticed a little girl at first because she had no shoes. But then I started to look around and I was like, man, these are all family. This is a family. And there's six of them. Or at the time, I didn't know if there could be more smaller ones tucked underneath, like the older ones that I could see. So I was like, I have to give them something. I didn't have much. I had a banana, I had water, and like 18 bucks. And I felt like that's not gonna do anything for them. But then I had to go out to Facebook. You're like, is there any, you know, can anyone help? Like, you know, anywhere they can go. And then I try to pass that information along.
You also started a GoFundMe page for them, right?
I did. Later that evening, once the video actually started to go viral, and someone had actually located them, that's when I had started the page, and I was in communication with the gentleman that decided to go out in the middle of the night and drive them to a safe place for them to sleep. And I knew that I could be in communication and get the money to them. That's when I opened up the page.
When what was your goal for the GoFundMe?
The original goal was $5,000, and since then it has doubled in a day, it's amazing.
So this is just such a sad story, but isn't it nice that you did what you did, then somebody else sees it and he says, hey, I'm going to drive around and find them, and strangers have donated over $10,000 to this cause in 24 hours. I'm encouraged
exactly.
By that. So now what are you going to do? Are you going to give them, how do you get the money and how do you get it to them?
I've never done a GoFundMe before, so I will be looking online to see how that happens. I don't know if I just could get their banking information if they have a bank.
Yeah, good luck.
To wire that to. But I am now in a couple hours. I'm going to go to the donation drop off, which is at Body Shop Boxing Club. I'll be there a little later this evening. To pick up the donations and meet along with that other gentleman that was helping and go visit the family in person on purpose and get connected with them.
Alexis Aguilar is on a phone line. Let's hang up now and maybe touch bases again in a day or two and just follow this story. I wonder if these people are here illegally, or that is, I wonder if they're documented, and I would not be surprised if they're not. That doesn't change that we shouldn't be compassionate towards them and help them. If people wanted to donate, what's the search word on GoFundMe for your page?
I believe I put help the CTA family or the Blue Line family.
Help the CTA family, you said?
Help the Blue Line family.
Help the Blue Line family. Type that in when you go to the GoFundMe site. You'll be able to find this and make a donation too if you're so inclined. Well, God bless you. Thank you, Alexis. Will you join us again in a couple of days, maybe first part of next week, and we'll see how this story goes?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Good luck. Anything else you'd like to pass along before we go then?
I just want to thank everyone who has been following the story, and thank you all for the donations. God bless you all. I mean, I couldn't do this by myself, and I couldn't even imagine how far this has gone. So thank you.
We'll visit next week then, Alexis. Bye now.
Bye now.
Alexis Aguilar is 29. She's a single mom herself on the North Side who, on the Blue Line earlier this week, saw a family of six and said, I've got to do something, and now a lot of people are joining the cause. Okay, it's 2:54. This is WGN. I know. I got to read this thing here. It says, coming up, the stories that matter the most with Judy Pilak from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
The weather's turning, and now the list of all the fall projects come to a head. Do you stain the deck, recoat the driveway, install gutter guards, build a fence, winterize the lawn? I know it's exhausting, but I can help. Well, I'm not going to actually come to your house, but I will make sure that you do it the right way. You just have to listen to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, every Saturday morning live from 7 to 10 a.m.
House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini, sponsored by Ace, the helpful place. Saturday morning on 720 WGN. Lou's brought to you every week by Belden Leaf Guard. Never have clogged gutters again with Belden Leaf Guard. Call for a free in-home estimate. 833-4-BELDEN.
Nearly every day, someone asks me, Walter, are those invisible Lyric hearing aids from the Hearing Health Center really as good as you say they are? Well, let me tell you, I'd like to be able to put my hearing aids into your ears so you can experience what it's like to hear normally again. You can't feel them. You don't think about them. You don't even know they're there. You wear them day and night, up to months at a time, without ever taking them out. Even to change the batteries. Well, right now, with this special offer, I don't have to give you my Lyrics. You can try your own for 30 days, risk-free. Call 833-GO-HEARING for a free hearing checkup in Chicago, Naperville, Oak Brook, or Highland Park. So don't just listen to me. Call 833-GO-HEARING now. That's 833-GO-HEARING now. Or go to WGNHEARING.com and find out for yourself.
This winter, put down the smartphones. Gather your family around the original social networking device, your fireplace. Get your fireplace ready now. Go with the company that was started by a fireman 50 years ago and remains a family business today. Lindemann Chimney and Fireplace. Go to CleanFireplace.com.
Says here, Americans are living longer, and with that comes an increased need for nursing homes. Here in Illinois, we got more than 100,000 people in long-term care facilities. A key component for nursing home care, proper supervision and monitoring of the residents. Too bad that many nursing home groups put profit over patient care, though. And so all too frequently, facilities are understaffed. The employees are both undertrained, underpaid, and that means we get falls and bed sores and serious injuries sometimes. If your loved one suffers a serious injury as a result of nursing home neglect, will you be ready? If injury occurs to your loved one, call the Nursing Home Neglect Lawyers at GWC Law Firm to fight for you and your family. Over the last 40 years, GWC's trial lawyers have gained a hard-earned reputation for fighting for the maximum amount of compensation for their injured clients. Call for your free consultation today, 312, and then dial 9. Here in Chicago, 312-999-9999, or visit justicestartstoday.com. Don't forget, tomorrow, this time we'll be not on the air, now that I think about it. Right, Kevin? We'll have pregame coverage of White Sox baseball. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the Red Line Series, as they call it. The Cubs are taking the L down to the south side. Mm-hmm. We'll be at Cork and Carey. You're going to swing by, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there.
Michael Kopech's dad's going to join us around 1:35.
Oh, you're going to like that.
Yeah, you know, he's an interesting story, how he's one of these dads who knew he had something here, and really worked with his son to sort of maximize his potential.
He's as Texas as they come, John.
I don't know this guy. I've never spoken to
him. You're going
to
enjoy it.
I don't even know what he's as Texas as they come means. But he's an attorney, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I don't know what that means. I don't know what that has to do with it.
Yeah, found a little abandoned schoolhouse out in East Texas, about 30 minutes from where they lived, and he turned that into the training ground for Michael Kopech, for his son. Those two would drive out there and in the Texas heat, and they would train. And they would work at it, and it obviously paid off.
I wish my dad had done that for me. Then I could have been a big league pitcher.
If only your dad found an abandoned schoolhouse in the middle of Illinois, John.
I remember, though, when I found out that Bruce Miller's family had a hitting cage in their backyard, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me, really? Because I'll tell you what, as a kid growing up, if my dad said, we're putting a hitting cage up so you can work out all day long playing baseball, I would say, no, thank you. You know, of course, there must come a moment, though, because everybody knew a kid who was great on the Little League team. But when does that light go off that you go, wow, this kid isn't just a great Little League player. This kid is a major league player. That's a question for him, right? Because I know the stars of our Little League aren't major leaguers today. How do you know at 12, at 10, that this kid has, like, was he throwing 80 miles an hour when he was 12 years old? I don't know the answer to those questions.